Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
All right, good morning again, church family. Welcome to message number 3 in this vision series. If you're joining for the first time, it's such a great time to be here as we take the month of September each year to just pause and look at the vision that God gave to the church, the thing that he said, go after this. And so we've been doing this for 2 weeks now, and today's the third week. And here's the thing, as a people, isn't it true that we're prone to be just forgetful? Isn't it true that we are prone to become easily distracted, complacent, or even get slack or get lazy? To get off course, and sometimes we're prone to just get discouraged and kind of just wake up with the attitude one day and just kind of find yourself thinking, what's the point anyway? So we hope that this is such an encouraging reminder. Maybe it's new and eye-opening to others, but we want to look at what Jesus commanded, what he called us to, and say as a church, we're all going forward. This is his aim, and this is where we're going. And so today we're going to step back into Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And then in a moment we will open up with Matthew chapter 28, if you want to go ahead and turn there. And so as we begin, I want you to think about how Jesus, during this journey of discipling his followers, he was always helping them to see beyond what was physically in front of them. He was opening their eyes to new things. So I'm going to put a picture up here to kind of illustrate this, and I'm going to ask you, what is it that you see? But here's what I want to do. If you're a child or a young adolescent or a teenager, you feel free to just verbalize what it is that you see that's a little beyond the picture. Okay, you ready? What do you see? Children. Keep going. Something else is there. Think beyond the picture. Kids, teenagers. What's there? Keep going. You're there. Keep going. Keep going. Something else is there. It's lots of them are there. Something else. It's there. You can't see it, but you know that it's there. Oh, my word. Say it again. Say it again. Fish. You, sir, just won a prize. Man. Now, think of this. It's not the Sea of Galilee. It's Fontana Lake. But a fisherman is trying to catch something that he can't see, but he knows it's there. Jesus reached in and he grabbed a hold of that. And he said, follow me. I'm gonna take this reality that you know, and I'm gonna spiritualize. Okay, we're gonna try one more time. Okay, you ready? You ready? This is the big thing that Jesus was going to. It's only for teenagers and kiddos. Let's try it again. Something else is there. This is a map of Graham County. What? Oh, my word. Give it up for this guy. Come on down here, Cohen. Give me 5, buddy. Open that up and enjoy it later. Have a party. People, Jesus told his followers, I'm going to take you. I'm going to help you to see what's right in front of you. But you can go your whole life and miss it. There are fish that need to be caught, and there are people that need to be rescued. And so Matthew tells us that Jesus started out by saying, look, follow me. This was an invitation to learn to fish, but it was an invitation to learn how to catch fish. And the bait that was on every hook was love. Jesus invited these early disciples to come follow me and learn how to love people that are different than you. And he said, if you choose to do that, this is still available to us today. He said, you'll be transformed. He said, I'm committed to making you, to transforming. And Ben talked about this last week. He said, I'm committed to transforming your mind. I want you to think like me. Your desires. I want you to become affectionate and loving and desiring of the things that I desire. And he said, then the overflow will be your life. You'll want to obey me, not because it's your duty, not because you're supposed to, not because you've been guilted or manipulated, but because of the love relationship that you share. And so today we're talking about these final three words that Jesus said we will be molded into, and that's fishers of men. And Jesus made it pretty clear. Or maybe Matthew, maybe it wasn't so clear in the beginning, but whenever the time comes, Jesus said, you will then be ready to be commissioned. I'm going to then send you out as fishers of men. This is the Great Commission. And there's no way they understood this at the beginning. And so this is a journey. This is a journey that we are all on. And so whenever wouldn't it be great if whenever you got saved, whenever you trusted the gospel, if all that just happened at once and you just woke up the next day, you're transformed, you're going out, the world is your mission field, whether it's the elementary school or the people you work with, but it doesn't happen that way. And it takes time. And as a church, we know it takes time. And so 3.5 years later, Matthew's gospel lets us know in chapter 28, after the shocking crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, Matthew lets us know that before he ascended back to heaven, Jesus said, I want you to go into the world and fish. And Matthew says, this is how he said it. So if you would, please stand with me in reverence and in honor for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in the very familiar verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we continue this journey, we ask that you would pull the blinders off and continue to patiently help us to see what you see and to think as you think and to love as you love, so that we, the church, can waste no time being about the business that you have called us to, seeing people and seeing you rescue them and catch their hearts and their minds right where they are. We ask your blessing and your help today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew says the disciples were now ready. They were now ready to be sent out. Whether they thought they were ready or not, they were now ready to be sent out. So what we want to do is we want to reach in and grab this command. We're going to put a spin of fishing on it today. So if fishing's not your thing, first of all, we'll forgive you. And then secondly, we'll pray for you. Then thirdly, we're just going to ask you to don't let it be a distraction to you. If fishing's not your thing, then think about your favorite hobby or pastime. And so, but Matthew said it started with fishing, and this is just how he said it in the end. And now if you have a King James, the word make disciples that comes from the Greek word mathetuo isn't in verse 19 in your Bible. But the word teach that's in your Bible and the word teaching that's in verse 20 are two different Greek words. The main command that is given, the command that is given in this passage is to make disciples. The three words that are in the blue, the going, the baptizing, and the teaching, are all participles that help us to understand as a church, this is how we go about it. This is what he told us to do. So what I want to do today is just break down those three words and help hopefully expand our understanding of what this looks like for you personally in your home and within this church. And so let's begin with this word go. When Jesus said go, the word means as you go. And I want you to think of it today as it just hear him saying, look, I want you to go fish. I want you to go fish. Now imagine how many of you husbands would be so excited if you came home Friday after work and your wife just looked at you and said, honey, tomorrow I want you to take the whole day and just fish. Go for the weekend. Just go. I want you to go and fill our freezer full of fish. I mean, that'd be pretty cool, right? The yard needed mowed and weed eated, and there's all sorts of chores. She just go fish. Kiddos, would you be excited if someone in your family came home and just said, look, tomorrow and actually the whole week, we're just going to go fishing. We're going to go to Alaska and we're just going fishing. This is meant to be exciting. It's meant to be our Heavenly Father gave His people a charge and said, go. And the idea, of course, is to go love the people that's in your life. God wants us, and as a church, we want this to be our aim, that our understanding of how to love the people that's in your life is always growing, that God is always opening your eyes and our hearts up to people to pray for, people to speak to, people to go out of your way and say or do something for in order to show them His love. And so Jesus said all of His authority is vested in this. Have you ever been sitting at a red light and maybe you kind of doze off for a second and you're sitting there and all of a sudden the car behind you is just laying down on the horn? What are they wanting you to do? Go. The light turned green and you missed it about 3 seconds ago and they're just hammering it down. They're just go on. Can't you see? But just the beautiful picture here is God is saying with His authority, I've not called your life or my church to be passive. I've not called you to just sit around and do nothing. He has a plan and a purpose, and every single person in this room is meant to be a part of that purpose. He called the church to action. And so this is our response to not Him honking the horn in anger, but to Him saying, I don't want you sitting here idle. We got things to do. I got things to show you. I got things I want to do through you in order to reach those fish that's on that map, to reach those people. And so Jesus told His disciples on Thursday night before He was crucified, He said, all will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So let's make this practical. It's easy to take a sermon and to just blow it up, like just preach a sermon on just marriage or just parenting and just make people think that that's everything they need to be doing in their life. Or it's easy to preach just on missions and say, we all need to be going out, we need to be sharing the gospel, we need to be going door to door, and just make it sound like that's everything we should be doing with our lives. But I want you to look at this and just think about this is you in the middle. What the Bible teaches is there's three main fishing holes that God wants you to fish. He wants a healthy balance in our lives. He doesn't want you to feel guilty that all of your time and energy is being consumed by this one thing and there's nothing left of you to give to the other two. So as a church, we don't want people to get consumed with all the ministries in the church. We want everyone to be able to find a place where they can get plugged into to grow, in a place where they can be a help and be a servant. So in the home, it is always our aim as a church. We would actually go as far as to say we are being unsuccessful as a church if we're not helping husbands and wives go home and love and respect each other. If we're not helping moms and dads go home and be intentional in investing in their kiddos. And if we're not helping even the teenagers and the children to go home and say, man, God wants me to respect the authority that He's put in my life and to honor my parents. We would say we're not doing well. And then you look over here in your church family. We want a place in this church. We want to be able to communicate that God has gifted each of you. God has gifts and talents that He wants in this church body that's needed by other people in the church body for their edification. We want to create an environment where people can come here and say, this is my family. This is my home. When I'm here, I'm welcomed. People greet me. They smile at me. They're happy to see me. They ask me, how are you doing? How was your week? That's how a family functions. And so it's a joy to serve one another. And then we want to do those two things in such a way that the world is getting the overflow. We want to do it in such a way that when children go to school, when you hang out with friends, when you go to practice or when you play a game or when you go to work, that Monday is getting the overflow of your Sunday. That people that are in your life that I never see, or Ben never sees, or Trevor never sees, or Jeremy never sees, would be looking at your life saying, you had a good weekend, didn't you? There's joy in your heart. There's a skip in your step. And I don't know the purpose and the passion in which you live, but I want what you have. I want who you have. Because they see the purpose in which you live your life. So we should all ask. It would be good for us to all ask. As we go through life and we interact with these different people, are there people in my life that God doesn't have the freedom to say, I want you to speak to him? Are there people in your life and in my life that where God doesn't have the freedom to say, you know, I really want you to go sit down and have lunch with her today at work or at school. I want you to go out of the way at work or down the road from where you live or in the classroom. That person is broken. And God's saying, I'm asking you to go out of your way and just be a fisher. It's not complicated. It's not theological. Just go out of your way and let them know that you notice them and that they matter. Well, how do we do that? We go back and we look at how Jesus did it. It's so fascinating to think that Jesus had three fishing holes. Three big fishing holes, and he was constantly helping his disciples to understand how to love people, how to put love on the hook and bait it. So you think about Jesus' family. Wherever Jesus went and whatever he did, honoring his heavenly Father was his utmost priority. He reverenced him. He said over and over, I came not to do my will. I didn't come to live a self-centered life, but to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus' relationship with his heavenly Father drove everything that he did. And he served his mother. Granted, it was probably pretty easy for Mary to follow considering the whole Gabriel experience and the birth story that she had. So we got to give her that. But he served her. But now think of this. How many of you, let's be honest, how many of you have a hard time sometimes getting along with your brother and sister? It's tough, ain't it? It's tough. Well, you know what? So did Jesus. When you read about his brothers in the scriptures, they constantly just ridiculed him. They put him down. They told him they didn't believe in him. They mocked him. They said, go, show yourself since you're so good and perfect, which he was so good and perfect. I mean, it'd been tough to be Jesus' brother. But Jesus shows us how to not let our siblings dictate our joy and rob us of what God is wanting to do in our family. But then Jesus showed us how to go into the world. Now, we talk about this a lot. But when you look at society, and you see what the Bible calls sinners, which we were all born into sin. Jesus showed us and his disciples, how do we go to people? And yeah, we're going to see their problems, but how do we look at their potential through the lens of love? We saw Fontana Lake. We didn't see any fish, but you knew there was fish there. You've actually caught fish on that lake. But how do we look and say, man, your life is really broken. But I know the one who can heal it. I know the one, I know the one that can meet you where you are and start. And if you want to just come with me, and I'm just in this process of learning and growing. Jesus showed us how to talk with sinners and tax collectors. He wasn't ashamed. So I have to ask myself, are there people in my life that I would be a kind of embarrassed or ashamed to be seen talking with or sitting and eating with? Because Jesus wasn't. Jesus showed us how to love them where they were. But when he did this, he didn't approve of how they were living. And now this is important because as time continues to tick and when Jesus' return is, we don't know. But what we do know and what we do see happening all over our nation is churches are taking this call to love and they're twisting it and becoming accepting of things that God said, no, that's my standard doesn't change. So Jesus shows us how to love people without accepting their standards, but inviting them to where God has called them to be, rather than the pointing the fingers, but rather than just saying, oh, you know, that's no big deal. So the church is never called to be conformed to the world. Now, you think of this. Some of the outcast people, some of the people that society never had anything to do with. Jesus often asks a four-worded question that's kind of shocking, and it's kind of hard to even think, was that really the most loving thing to ask? And so over and over, Jesus, in one case, he walked up to a person who was crippled, and he says, what do you want? And you kind of just step back and think, well, What do you think he wants? He wants to walk. I mean, what would we all want? We would want to walk. But when we think about what it would be like to live your whole life controlled by your needs, and it's Jesus' way of saying, look, if I heal you, if I change your life, you can't use that as an excuse anymore. It's actually easy to live controlled by your needs. It's actually easy to live self-centered and to do nothing and to let everyone do something for us. But love changes all that. When Jesus came to change people's lives in the way that he loved, and so when he said, what do you want me to do? It was also his way of saying, everything is going to change from this moment on. Now you will have a love to go and to give to others. And so you won't be controlled by that. Let's think of it this way. What about our enemies? We've lived in a free nation our whole life. Can you imagine what it would really be like if Russia or Iran controlled our nation and governed our nation? I mean, it's hard to really think about. But when Jesus did something for Roman centurions, was he really not doing something for the enemy? He was doing something for those that the Jews hated. And so one centurion one time came and said, Jesus, my servant is at home tormented. He's paralyzed. He probably got paralyzed in a fight with Jews, in a fight with zealots. And by the end of the whole conversation, Jesus healed him. And you just step back and think, you healed the enemy. And Jesus says, love has no limits. Love, I want you to see beyond the person, and this is what we want to do as a church. We don't want to put stipulations on who can come in, who's welcome and who isn't. We want to invite all people to come and know him, because what Jesus could see is one day there's going to be a church planted in Rome. There's going to be Roman centurions that make their way back to Italy, and there's going to be an epistle written in the New Testament to the Romans, because they're going to be changed and they're going to be having church with Jew and Gentile together. That is seeing beyond. Do we believe that? Do we continue to believe that, God, you can bring anybody in here? People that we had a quarrel with years ago, and we can worship God together. Do we believe that God can bring broken relationships into one church body and restore those relationships, and all of a sudden together we're worshiping and praising the forgiver and the redeemer of our souls? That magnifies his grace. And so all along the way, what did he do? He brought his followers along the journey. And it's just so neat, because his followers didn't have a seminary degree. One of them was Thomas the Doubter. And it's a guy who doesn't trust anybody. He just struggles with doubts. Another one that we often don't talk about is Simon the Zealot. I mean, Simon was about to be like an undercover CIA man and get a mob of people together and attack the governors of Rome. And to do it in the name of God and for his glory. Jesus took some of the most bizarre people and said, I want to show you how to love. And so what we do know is this. A lot of times people think to go out and be a fisher of men looks like this. It's to be the guy out there with the microphone. It's to get a big march together and everybody holds signs quoting scripture about going to hell and other things. And they think that's how we go out and be like Jesus. And we tell people the truth and we put it in their face. But here's the thing. No one ever follows the angry man. No one ever says, man, I'm so inspired by you just getting in my face with your finger and that big megaphone. My life changed today. I just want to live like you, do they? And so Jesus didn't do that. What Jesus did, and he didn't ignore the reality of hell, he just invited people to know his love so they could discover the heaven he came to give them. And as a church, we want to be captivated by this reality, and we want to let the eternity that everyone is going to face continue to move us to love and to have conversations with people that's in our everyday lives. And so I would want to wrap up this little point by just really saying, when we're on this journey together, there's another indicator that pops up the more we're discovering and becoming acquainted with God's love and the way Jesus treated people, the more it also helps us to understand people in our lives that we think are loving us, but they're not. If you have someone in your life that's just constantly throwing your mistakes in your face, rubbing your sin in your face, being arrogant and rude, and reminding you over and over and over of your failures, look, that's not love. God doesn't want you controlled by that kind of relationship. He wants, so we want to create an environment in this church where people are constantly being set free from whether it's abuse or whether it's a toxic relationship that's robbing them of the very thing that God wants to free them from. And it's learning how to forgive and to love that helps us to do that. So let's go on to this second passage in Matthew 28, in the latter part of verse 19. Our aim as a church is to get in the water. Now think about this. We talked a lot about baptism a few weeks ago, and he said, look, when you're going out and fishing and people are responding to the gospel, baptize them. We know that. That's nothing new. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But let's just step back for a moment and think, isn't it really kind of strange that God would ask us to get in a pool of water and just dunk people? Isn't it just kind of the most bizarre idea when you just think about, if pretend you never knew anything about baptism? It's God just saying, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to love people. I want you to meet them where they are. And when they trust Jesus, find a big puddle of water and just boom. Yeah. Isn't that kind of odd? So let's think about what is the heart of the Heavenly Father here? And I want to hopefully put just a little different spin on it than we did about a month ago when 12 of you got baptized. This is God's way of helping us to help a new believer go public with their faith. I want you to think about it like this. Let's say we got at least two really great fishermen here from the creek, Josh Lane and Josh Stevens. Let's say they're out on the creek, and man, they're fly fishing. They're just catching big fish left and right, and everybody's asking these guys, give me some tips. How do you catch big ones? What do you do? One of the first things that they're going to say, if you're standing on the edge of the creek bank and you're trying to flip it, and then you're maybe you got the fly rod and you're getting hung in the bushes back here, one of the first things they're going to say to do is come out in the water. I might fall. I don't want to get wet. It's cold. You might fall. Yeah, you might hit your head on a rock. You may. But if you want to learn to fish, if you want to get out here where the big ones are, if you want to change your experience, I need you to come out into the water. So don't you just see this for a second. Whenever someone trusts the gospel, whether they're young or old, our Heavenly Father has such a gentle way of saying, I don't want you to keep that private. I want to now, in this journey, my end goal is to make you a fisher of men. I'm calling you out into the water. And so some of you know this. Whenever they stepped into the baptismal, and for many of us, this was our experience many years ago, and you get up there, maybe you were in a creek somewhere, and you look out at all those people. It's kind of scary. It's kind of like, oh man, why would God ask me to do this? And he's just saying, I'm here with you. And you just think about this dad. He's out there in the creek with probably his son. And he says, don't worry. I'm right here with you. You know, isn't it cool that no one ever got baptized alone? Isn't it cool that no one ever came into the water and just dunked themselves and come up and said, here, look at what I did. It's God's way of saying, I want the church to build this new relationship with this new believer. I want you to step down there with them. I want you to tell them about their new family. But I want them to take that first step and get their feet wet. And I want them to invite their friends and their family. I don't want them to keep it private. You know, I looked all through the Bible. I couldn't find one place where a baptism was ever private. I couldn't find one place where just two individuals went down into the water. I'm not saying that it's wrong if somebody does. And just privately just kind of kept it all to themselves. And you think about this for Muslims and other people from other cultures. Their family sometimes will disown them for trusting in Jesus. And Jesus said, look, part of discipleship, part of what I want you to do as a church is I want you to give someone that little nudge and invite them out into the water and give them that first taste of going public about their decision to trust in me. So let's think about how Jesus did this. Here's one simple way Jesus did this. Matthew tells us that in chapter 10, Jesus said, look, I'm sending you out. I want you to go two by two. You two together. Man, I'm sorry for whoever gets paired up with Judas, but somebody's got to do it, you know. I want you to go out and preach. I want you to go fish. And I want you to tell people the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received. In other words, freely I've loved you and I've showed you how to love. I want you to go out and get in the water. I want you to go out and give my love to people. I want you to go get your feet wet. Can you imagine what that experience is like? Really? It's not even been 6 months yet. It's only been a year and you're not going with us. Oh, I've been with you. You're ready. Can you imagine what it was like when they got rejected for the first time? Fishing is risky. Fishing is painful to the heart. And what God has called us to as a church, it sometimes is really painful whenever people are like, I don't want anything to do with the church you go to or the life that you're living. I'm not interested. I've heard things. I don't want, stay away. Don't even talk to me about it anymore. And Jesus just said, look, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them, and then just keep fishing. Don't get discouraged. Don't get distracted. Don't get down. I want you to keep going out and giving my love to people and inviting people and tell them the good news is here. The good news is a person, and I want you to do this in my name. And then he said this, if someone receives you into their home, you go in and you say, peace be to this home. And whatever they give you to eat, you eat it. Wherever they give you to sleep, you sleep there. Isn't this cool? Jesus was breaking down those walls. Jesus was tearing down barriers. And Jesus is saying, in many ways, he's teaching us to say, look, I know sometimes we might look at people and think, I could never go to their house. I don't know that I could spend time with that person. Jesus said, we're going to tear down those walls. Whoever opens up their home to you, just go in and love them and be with them and keep my love as the main thing. So get in the water and get into the messiness of people's lives. So here's two real practical ways that we could encourage someone to do this. Have you ever shared your testimony? There's probably people here that maybe you've never been taught to share your testimony. Maybe you've never even had the opportunity. Would you be willing to ask, if this is you, would you be willing to ask and just say to God in your own words, Lord, I'm ready to get my feet wet. I want to share my testimony with someone. And here's three areas I could encourage you to focus on. Talk about what your life was like before Christ. You don't have to go into all the detail. If it's dark and if it's painful, just in some way, could you sum up in 1 to 5 minutes, what was your life like before trusting the gospel? And then, how did you come to faith in the gospel? And this is a big encouragement of mine. I would encourage anyone, when you're sharing your testimony, don't just say, and I got saved. Because here's why. A lot of people use that terminology, but they actually don't know the gospel, and they actually haven't trusted the gospel. In your testimony, however you came to faith in Jesus, use that as your opportunity to say, and then God opened my eyes to what Jesus did on the cross. And I trusted that he died on the cross for my sins, and he's forgiven me of my sins. And then God opened my eyes to the funeral that Jesus had. He was buried. But 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And that tells me that God gives me life after death. He gives me everlasting life. Put that in your own words and make that a part of your testimony. But then don't leave out this last one. How would you sum up today? If someone said, hey, can we have lunch after church? I want to hear about your current walk with Christ. I want to know, what's God teaching you? What is he doing in your life right now? How would you answer that? No pressure. I'm just encouraging us to think about, how would you let someone know, here is currently today what Christ is doing in my life, how he's changing the way that I think, and how he's changing my relationship with other people. Share your testimony. Here's one more. If you've never asked God to show you ways to give or to serve others, would you be willing to pray about that? I'm not asking you to do it. Would you be willing to say, God, I'm ready to get my feet wet. I want to step out into the waters. I want you to burden my heart with someone in my life to just share something with, to serve in some way, to do something simple for it with children. It's writing cards. It's making videos, singing happy birthday to somebody. It's calling someone on the phone and telling them you're praying for them. This can be done in the most simple of ways, but it's ultimately, it's teaching our children how to think of others, not just what we want to do every day, all day, and all weekend. And so one of my favorite suggestions is this. A lot of you have read this book. Find a book that's impacted your life. This is called the He Loves Me book, and it's a journey about how sometimes people, like clicking a daisy, he loves me not, and how a lot of people go through life with a view of God that when my day is really good, oh, he loves me. But when my day goes really bad, when the thing that I prayed for didn't come through, God must not love me anymore. It's a fantastic book, but find a book in your life and that's impacted you and ask God, Lord, if you show me someone who needs this, I'm going to step out into the water. I'm going to give them the book, and I'm going to say in some way, I was thinking about you, and I felt like God wanted me to give this to you. And if you wanted to look at it and talk about it sometime, I'd love to do that. It's real, real simple and just getting our feet wet. Finally, I would want to close with this. Our aim as a church is to be a fishing guide. It's to be fishing guides. When Jesus said in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. That's a lot. This takes time. This is a journey together. This is an adventure. Has anybody ever went on a guided trip? I mean, it's just so cool to go with somebody and you don't know where it's new territory. You've never been here. You don't know the fishing holes. And somebody's like, don't worry. I know where we're going. I know what to use. Son, I'm going to put you right on a big one. You just get it out there. It's awesome. As a church, we don't want to intimidate with people. We don't want to say, look at all the knowledge we have, and here's all this knowledge and information. You got to memorize and learn it all. No. We're here to say, look, we're here to invest in your life. And one day God's going to turn you loose. I don't know what he's called you to do. I don't know what he's going to do in your life. But I'm so excited to see what that looks like when that time comes. We want to be a fishing guide with people and turn them loose. And so Jesus said, when you do this, I'm with you. Have y'all ever seen the movie A River Runs Through It? It's, if you're a fly fisherman, it's just like, you know, it's just on the top of the list. But here's a picture of the Presbyterian preaching dad out there with his two boys, and they're not even in the creek. He's talking about the fly rod. In a minute, he stands them up, and he turns on a little ticker, and he goes, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. He's just getting them in the rhythm. Then he takes them down to the stream, and he gets them in the rhythm, and he's correcting them. And then years later, that dad and those two sons, they're out there together. And something so remarkable happens within about 5 minutes of this scene in the movie. That guy in the bottom left corner is Paul McClain. It's Brad Pitt back in his younger days. And so father and his two sons are out there fishing, and then Brad Pitt takes off, and he separates. And he gets out there, and there's just this epic picture where he's got like 500 feet of line out, and it's just swirling around, and he lays it out there, and he hooks a monster. And he goes down the river fighting this thing. They don't know if he's going to drown or what, and he eventually lands it. Spoiler alert, sorry. But here's the thing. Fishing is risky, and it's dangerous. Putting yourself out there to love people and serve people and to show people that you care about them is really dangerous. And I want to close by just saying, if you've never read Acts chapter 5, I want to give you a little summary. And here it is in closing. When Jesus turned his guys loose and gals, one of the things that happened after several thousand get saved is they get put in prison. Peter and some of the other apostles are put in prison, and they're told, you should never speak about Jesus again, but God sends an angel and locks the door. And so they go run for their lives. No. they go right back to fishing. They go right back to the temple, and they're just back out there sharing the love of Jesus and sharing the gospel. They get arrested again. And Acts chapter 5 tells us this time they're beaten with rods, and they're told again strictly, don't ever speak in the name of Jesus. Stop talking about the man. Stop this fishing stuff. Just stop it. And earlier Peter had said, ought we rather to obey God than man? And so when they're released, they go out rejoicing. We've been counted worthy to suffer for his. They're not discouraged. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, the Bible says this. They all left Israel. No. They all left Jerusalem and said, Lord, we're not doing it anymore. No. When they're released from jail, they simply said, the Bible tells us this, and daily in the temple and in every house, home to home, door to door, life group to life group, they didn't stop fishing. They didn't cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They said, look, God's called us to this. It's going to be worth it. We're not going to give up. And so I submit to you, it may be risky and it may be worth it, but we can't ever fish if we live a secluded life. We'll have nothing to rejoice over if we just stay in the comfort of our home. We'll have nothing to celebrate as a church if we just sit back and say, oh, somebody else can do it. I don't even know that God could really change that person's life anyway. But if we keep saying, you know what? Our aim as the body of Christ is to make disciples who love and live like Jesus. It's been changing the first century. It's been changing the world since the first century. I want to be a part of that. Let's pray. Father, it is here that we just bow our heads. We thank you for testimony after testimony in your word that tells us how to be about your business, how to be motivated with love so that we can love. And Father, we ask all over this county that you would give us eyes to see the fish that you're working on, the fish that your Holy Spirit is drawing, and let us be your hands and feet, casting nets, casting bait casters and casting fly rods. Say, come to a Savior who loves you. I know your marriage is broken. I know your friendships are falling apart, but come to a church family that'll meet you where you are and get to know my God. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.